And I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decan, your rosary on the road. I have some good news following up on a prayer we said earlier this week for SB, and at the time when I was recording, I said his brother and sister-in-law. It's the other way around, a sister and brother-in-law. But you'll see that on the notes that I put on Anchor and on everywhere where I posted the recording. We were praying for, because they had put these chemicals in their bodies that are supposed to protect them from this thing that's out there, supposedly out there, there was a major concern that they would not be able to have children, and they really want to have children. We found out yesterday night that they had, in fact, they've crossed the first hurdle, they made the first step. She's with child, so now I'd like to continue that prayer because it's one of these things where, you know, when you have a child, it is a multi-step process. And there's concerns along the way, you know, not just throughout the pregnancy, but every trimester has its own worries and its own concerns, its own anxieties that you have to get over and place in the hands of God. It's part of the pregnancy is a wonderful thing in that regard. There's nothing that forces you to trust in God more than a pregnancy, because there's really nothing that you can do about it. Once the child is conceived, it really is in God's hands. There's little things, you know, you can go to the doctor, and if you catch certain levels being off, you change the way you're eating, and you can take certain things. But by and large, what happens to that baby is entirely in the hands of the Almighty God. And so it is an opportunity to engender trust in God. It's part of what makes it so central to marriage. And it's not just procreation as the furthering of the species. You know, there's a lot of reasons why procreation is the primary function of marriage. And it has to do with, we think of these things in purely physical terms. You know, that's part of the reason why now people are not thinking in those terms anymore. But there is a spiritual element to it as well. There are spiritual benefits, spiritual trials that accompany the having of children. So I want to pray in a special way. Now that they've crossed the first hurdle, they're through the first step, they're going into the next step. I want to pray for them again. And I want to, we invoked St. Gerard last time. I think I probably should have invoked St. Colette, but this time around we'll turn to St. Elizabeth for her help. If you have a prayer intention, and there are other prayer intentions both in the groups that I'm in, there's prayer intentions in, there's none in the inbox currently, but you can change that. Go ahead and send in your prayer intention to dailydecatrequests@protonmail.com. That's Decat, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural, @protonmail.com, and it could be any kind of intention at all. I just want to pray for you. Give me an excuse. Give all of us an excuse to pray for you. For right now, though, let's turn our hearts and our minds to God and return to the subject of the sister and brother-in-law of SB and for their safe pregnancy, healthy pregnancy. Today is a Thursday, so we'll go ahead and pray in English. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, weeping and mourning from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us, and after this our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Saint Elizabeth, whose child paved the way for our salvation, and who was ministered to by the Mother of God herself, we humbly ask thy intercession, that these, the handmaiden and the servant of God, who have been blessed by God with a child, might, as you were, be ministered to by Our Lady, be protected and watched over by her. And as your whole household did attend her in attending you, so might all those around them likewise, in godly fashion, tend to support and bring about a healthy completion of this pregnancy of their first child. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is God, who liveth and reigneth with the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us in our daily labor pains, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, it certainly has been a while. I was listening to Bishop Sheen again last night. There's a new video that was put out by the Blackfriars Press, I think it's the Blackfriars Press. It's the Dominicans. And they had a video with some commentary on it of Sheen talking about the art of preaching. And while I'm not a preacher, it nevertheless was a subject of some interest to me, because it gives you a glimpse into the mind of how the gospel should be spread. Because in a way, all of us are preachers. You know, we're not, obviously, the priesthood of all believers and all of that stuff is not very well rooted in my personal religious belief, but you could interpret this way when you talk about the priesthood of all believers. If you are a Protestant who believes in the priesthood of all believers, well, then that also means that you must believe in the preaching, or the preacherhood of all believers, since the great commission that's given to us is to go out and to baptize and to bring people to Christ. So how do you bring people to Christ but to preach, but to confess the word, the gospel? And also the law, to bring these things to people. And so it was, I think it's a matter of some interest to all of us, you know, Catholic laity, Protestants, everyone, to consider what it is that makes a good preacher. And I think there's very few men who can lecture on that subject, who can sermonize on that subject, with the same degree of expertise and aplomb that Archbishop Sheen can bring to the table. So, or Bishop Sheen, rather, can bring to the table. So, it's worth listening to. I'd encourage you to go take a look at it. There was something in it that stuck out to me, especially in light of everything that's going on right now. And I don't like to comment on current events or on politics, because so often what they actually represent is a distraction to us. You know, we follow the news. Everybody got swept up. Over the last 4 or 5 years, everybody got swept up following the news and what was going on in Washington with this great hero that they had put up. You know, everybody was looking there and saying, here's our worldly salvation. And much to their chagrin, did it not turn out that way. But it shouldn't have been to anyone's surprise. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of men, in whom there is no salvation. And so politics is a distraction. It leads you away from the spiritual life. And after all, in facing what we are facing, there are no political solutions anyway. So it doesn't make a difference. So, but nevertheless, we cannot avoid politics when it imposes upon us, and the political world increasingly imposes upon us. And so, in light of that fact, and in light of the kind of politics that are being enforced, with the cajoling and coercion into certain behaviors, into recognizing certain behaviors, into accepting and broadcasting positive support for certain things, which are all repugnant to the faith, every single thing that we are of late required to bend the knee before, they almost without exception are all directly repugnant to the faith. And so it was interesting to me when I heard Bishop Sheen preach on the subject of preaching, that he drew attention to St. Paul's only failure as a preacher, which is when he went to Athens. And he went to Athens among the learned people of Athens, and he said to them, and he said to himself, rather, I shall meet them where they are. You know, this good homiletics. Athens is a city of philosophers. It's a city of sophistry, so people love novelty. And it's a city of thinkers. And so he gave a very philosophical homily there, a very philosophical sermon that was in every way technically perfect. And he successfully converted one person. He went afterwards to Corinth and took a completely different tack. One imagines, and Bishop Sheen draws your attention to this, one imagines he must have been on his way from Athens to Corinth, having made only one convert. He must have been mulling over in his mind, what in the world had I done wrong? How did I miss the mark that wide? He got to Corinth, and what he preached to Corinth was Christ crucified. This is where we get the famous boast on the cross. And Bishop Sheen makes the point, drawing from that, that the thing that lent strength to St. Paul's homily, to his sermon, was the presence of Christ crucified. That if we reduce Christ to a mere teacher, to an advisor, a counselor for our lives, spiritual counselor for our lives, like the Buddha, what we are left with is an emasculated Christ. A weak, a feeble Christ. Not a meek Christ, a weak Christ. One who cannot really have the power to save because there's no manhood about him. Christ crucified, on the other hand, is something powerful. He is one who is able to bear burdens which no man could possibly bear. Burdens so heavy that when he considered them in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat became as blood. People, in order to overcome the powers of evil, St. Paul says that we fight against principalities and powers. In order to overcome the powers of evil, people need strength and they need a strong leader. Christ is not merely there as a teacher who stands behind us and pushes us forward. Christ is the leader, the cross on his shoulder, who looks backward at us and says, "Come, follow me." And we are called, in our imitation of Christ, to do precisely the same. We are now coming to a time, and I don't put much stock in Rod Dreher. I don't really respect him as a person. But he drew on Alexander Solzhenitsyn, whom I do respect a great deal as a person, and as a literary figure, in this book that he wrote fairly recently called "Live Not by Lies." Now, there's not a lot of good solutions in it. I don't know that I really recommend it. You can take a look at it if you want, but it's not really much to recommend. But the phrase "live not by lies" is Solzhenitsyn, and it's a good one. It's good, solid Christian advice, because it contains in itself, in essence, everything that we're commanded to do as Christians. Well, what does it mean to live not by lies? You live by the truth. That means you openly confess the truth. That means that you have to suffer for the truth. That means that you have to bear all the crosses and the burdens that are placed upon your back because of the truth. That's, you have to give things up. You have to sacrifice. You have to live a sort of asceticism because of the truth. That's what it means to live not by lies in Solzhenitsyn's reckoning. And we now, faced with very real challenges to our attempts to live as Christians. For the first time in many, many years, we are being really genuinely challenged openly in terms of what our Christian faith permits us to accept, to tolerate, and to recognize. If we have a Christ who is only a teacher, only a moral advisor, it will be easy for us to cast aside this moral framework, this sort of therapeutic practice, this sort of intellectual diet, so to speak. Very easy to change that. Because all he is a teacher. We can find another teacher, maybe give us some of the same things, make us feel very good, and not put any real expectations on us. But if we have Christ crucified, Christ as our leader, the warrior who will bludgeon death to death with the cross, well then, we ride into battle with somewhat more confidence. And so it's very important when we talk about Christ to each other, and when we think about Christ ourselves too, but when we talk about Christ to other people and we try to bring them to the faith, you know, insofar as we have the ability to do that. You know, no one likes a bombast. And our temptation is always to be bombastic. Less subtlety is... that's the nature of man, isn't it? You know, Cain was not a particularly subtle person. A rock would do the job. That's how fallen man is. He's not subtle. He's not really nuanced. Or he's nuanced to his destruction. Satan's very good at introducing that. He's very subtle. This is why Christ tells us to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. So that's the perfect balance. But if we preach Christ crucified, we will be giving people strength. And if we remember Christ crucified, we will be maintaining our own strength. Because the challenges that are coming are challenges that cannot be met but by the cross. Our ability to endure, our ability to undertake and undergo, these are the things that are going to be tested in persecution. Well, the church is always persecuted. It always suffers. But there are times when it worsens, when it changes its nature. And we are now in a time of overt persecution because the subtle persecution of capitalist society did not suffice for us to defend ourselves against it, apparently. So now we return to less subtle persecution. Christ crucified, Christ on the cross, is the only one who can strengthen us in this persecution. That is why it is so important to have Christ on the cross. That's why it's so important to be reminded of the sacrifice whenever we pray. It's why it's so important to have a crucifix around you all the time, to remind yourself of what Christ did, who Christ is, and what ultimately Christ is supposed to be and supposed to do for us. He's not a teacher. Well, he is a teacher. He's taught us things. God teaches us things. Our Father in heaven, what father doesn't teach his children? But Christ is primarily for us a Savior. And that is the Christ that we must keep in front of us as we fight. The sacrament of confirmation bestows upon us this ability to stand up for the faith. And it carries with it that ability because, like all sacraments, it is intimately tied to Christ crucified. Christ crucified is a simple confession. When Christ was brought before Pilate, he was direct. He spoke simply, he spoke plainly. Upon the cross, the seven last words of Christ are not a Sermon on the Mount, but they are plain commands. From the throne of the cross, Christ the King commanded. And so too we, when we are faced with persecution, with our own crosses, whether it's the recognition of perversity of the mind, whether it is the mandate of alterations of our bodies, we stand and resist evil. We must stand and resist evil simply. Not through long and drawn-out arguments and debates and whatnot, but simply the recognition, no, this is evil. Christ is King. Look at how much trouble that phrase has caused some people who have said it publicly. Very simple statement. And so, when Christ tells us, let your words be simple, yea, yea, nay, nay, when he tells us that, he's telling us that because those who are true to him, those who are loyal to him, those who are true followers of the true religion which he is defining by becoming incarnate man, they are simple people. and they approach their faith in a simple manner. And so my prayer today is that in confronting the evils which we confront, whether it is a political evil, a social evil, a medical evil, that we have, by the grace of God, the strength to be simple and to offer simple, direct, and holy refusal to assent and tolerate evil. And if this brings us to physical destruction, that we may glorify God by our words, by our thoughts, and by our works. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.